Welcome to Enthroned Life, the pulpit ministry of Pastor Gary Smith from Fort Worth, Texas. For more than three decades, Pastor Gary has been encouraging people to know, love, and serve God. 2 Peter 1:3 says, "Do you want more and more of God's kindness and peace? Then learn to know Him better." This is the heart of true Christianity. When we know God, we will love Him, and when we love God, we will serve Him. Let's listen to today's message.
We have been talking about how that God wants us to have and possess a kingdom mindset. And in order for us to do that, we have to have a passion for certain things that God promotes in His Word. We must have a passion for His Word. I want to say something that I hope arrests you and at least gets your attention. The way you feel about God's Word is the way you feel about God. You can't feel about God one way and feel about His Word another way. And so your attitude toward God's Word reflects really your attitude toward God. And you will never have a kingdom mindset. You'll never be a kingdom person unless you develop a passion for God's Word. In James chapter 1 and verse 21, we find these words, "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls." Now, that is an admonition. That presents us with a decision. That presents us with a choice. Receive with humility the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Sometimes we don't really hear enough about the area of the soul, what it is, and why it's so important that we seek to have it transformed. We know that when we're born again, our spirit is born again, instantly, completely, fully. But we also know that because we have been under the influence of our soul, and the soul consists of the mind, the emotions, and the will, that in the soulish realm, we still have a lot of baggage. And we still have a lot of things to work through. And this passage very clearly says to us that we must be committed to the process of transforming our soul. I don't care how long you've been a Christian, there's still areas of your soul that you need to pay attention to and seek to renew. We need to have a renewed mind. We need to have a will that is operating under the power of God's Holy Spirit. And there is a process given to us in the Word of God that helps us become kingdom-minded people. Hebrews 4:12 is one of the great texts for this process. It says, "For the Word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing even to the dividing of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and quick to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart." What this text is saying to us is that the Word has both a destructive and a positive effect on our lives. It has the ability to pull down strongholds. And most of us struggle at one time or another with strongholds in our life. And if you want to know what a stronghold is, you can turn to the book of Corinthians and read about it, where Paul says, imaginations, pulling down strongholds and vain imaginations builds up the positive. It is incredibly, God's Word is incredibly powerful. It is as powerful as He is. Hello?
Amen.
It is as powerful as He is. Do you want to know how powerful His Word is? Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 says that with it He created everything that exists.
Yes.
He spoke it into existence.
Yes.
But not only that, it also says in this same verse that with His Word, He holds it into place.
Hallelujah.
Not only did He speak it into existence, but He holds. This earth is orbiting. The planets are orbiting. How are they doing that? They're doing it because of the power of God's Word. With His Word, He holds everything together. One of these days, He is going to come and destroy all of His enemies, Revelation said, with the sword of His mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me, He doesn't need an army. He just needs His Word.
Amen.
And God wants us to get excited about that. Let's go back to Hebrews 4:12 for a moment. The Word of God is living. The Word of God is active. Can you say amen tonight?
Amen.
It reveals the incredible way God wants to release its life and energy into us as we abide in His Word. It doesn't just skim the surface. It delves into the core of who we are. And like a medical scanner, reveals the truth about our entire being. Tonight I want to talk for just a moment about what the Word does. The Word pierces.
Yes.
This text says, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
This word piercing means to reach through or to penetrate. I want to quote this verse and I want to insert the Greek meaning into the verse. The Logos of God is alive, actively alive.
Man.
It is filled with the life and energy of God.
Man.
It toils and works in us, is operative and effectual. It is also fully competent, adequate, sufficient, and ample. It has enough ability to channel itself through the various areas of the soul and spirit, reaching its goal and attaining its desired end. It will arrive and accomplish its goals when it gets there. One of my favorite passages in Isaiah is in Isaiah 55:11. It says, "So shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it will not return unto me void."
Yes.
It will not return unto me empty, but it will accomplish the purpose that I send it for.
Yes.
That is rhema. That is the Spirit spoken word. A lot of Christians never really understand the power of rhema. We read the Logos, the written word, and it's wonderful and marvelous. But let me tell you what is even more marvelous and more wonderful than that. When the Holy Spirit takes the Logos and begins to speak it to you and make it pertinent to your situation and give you promises that you need in a time of need. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited.
Yeah.
And that's what rhema is. It'll go forth out of God's mouth and it will not return unto Him void,
yeah,
but it will accomplish what needs to be accomplished. God's Word knows where to build and to destroy. And it will penetrate to the needed areas of our soul and release its mighty transforming power once it gets there.
Yeah.
Here's what it does. It divides.
Yeah.
The Word divides.
Yeah.
It brings a division between what is soul and what is spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The Word spirit. I mean, the word is merismos, which means to divide. As believers, sometimes we're motivated by our spirit, but other times by our soul. How many of you have heard the expression, well, they just got in the flesh? How many seen that expression demonstrated in churches before?
Yeah.
You know what that means? It means they were just controlled by their self. It wasn't the Spirit doing it. That they were in charge. their weakness and their ability was in charge. I've had to set people down in church before who got in the flesh. They were out of order. They were not moving in the flow of the service. They were demonstrating their own carnal, fleshly desires. And I've had to set them down. I don't like to do that, but I've done it. Because the flesh profits nothing. When we come together in a worship service, we should be caught up in a spirit of unity and oneness.
Yes.
And we should seek to give to each other. And God's word has an ability to divide the soul from the spirit. Sometimes we're carnal, other times we're spiritual. And God's word divides the two, making it clear what's spirit and what's soul. God's word is like a scalpel that skillfully exposes and cuts away unbiblical thoughts and attitudes. It draws a line in the sand and says, this thought is flesh and this is spirit. And the word not only penetrates soul and separates soul and spirit, but it appropriates to each part, to us, the spiritual nutrients we need in order to mature and overcome and walk in victory. The word of God not only divides, but it judges.
Mm-hmm.
When the Logos penetrates to divide, here's what it says, here's what the text says. It has the ability to discern what is good and what is evil, or to put it in good Texas vernacular, what is right and what is wrong. Adam decided to judge for himself what was good and evil, right and wrong, and in the process, he missed God's will and God's plan, and he exalted flesh and its understanding above God's. And by taking in God's word, we reverse this, allowing God to be the ultimate judge. Going back to Hebrews 4, sometimes we never read, we get a very favorite text, and we never read the next verse. And I sometimes wonder how many people have ever read John 3:17. But let me read Hebrews 4:13. This is not going to be easy to receive. There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That is an expression that's not very pleasant. All things are laid bare and open. That's not an expression that brings a warm, fuzzy thought into your heart. That is strong language.
Yeah.
The word open, interestingly enough, is the same word that we get the word throat from. It means literally to seize by the throat or neck. And actually, when you begin to study it, it's a picture of an animal taking, it's a picture of taking an animal by the neck and bending it back so that the throat can be cut. It was actually a term used in slaughtering animals and sacrifices.
Wow.
In the Old Testament, the high priest would make a sacrifice required by the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad we don't live in Old Testament times anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really gory and bloody and unpleasant. But the high priest would take a sacrifice, and he would take an animal and tie its limbs to the four corners of the horns of the altar. Then he'd grab the animal by the throat and in one quick slash cut the animal's throat. But here's what most of us have missed. Every time an animal sacrifice was made. It was a picture of God putting the knife to our throat, our flesh. And actually, when you study it, it's a picture of Jesus going to the cross and becoming the great sacrifice for us. Why did Jesus endure the cross? To conquer exalted flesh. That's why he said to us, and we don't read this very often either, that we need to die daily. My friend told me one time, said, we need to read all those verses in the Bible that we don't have underlined. We need to die daily. What does that mean? It means that we need to bring our flesh to the cross. And we need to realize that in our flesh dwells no good thing. And like they would take those animals and put them on the four corners of the altar and tie them to the horns of the altar, we need to put ourselves on the altar and say, God, take your word and cut out of me the carnality and the lust and the flesh that's dominating my life, and allow me to become a spirit man.
Amen.
We either accept the knife. Look at a verse. I didn't put this in the notes, but I want to look at a verse that I didn't even realize was in the Bible. In Proverbs 23 and verse 2, put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to soul. Put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to soul. If you're controlled by your flesh, carnality, sinful desires, you need to put a knife to your throat. We'll either accept the knife or be stiff-necked. If we yield to the knife, we can recognize flesh for what it is. We can go to the sacrificial altar in agreement. Yes, this soulish nature must be exposed. This soulish nature must be killed. This soulish nature must be cut open. That's what John 15 is all about. When Jesus talks about pruning the vine branches so that they will produce fruit. Any butcher will tell you getting cut never feels good. But not every cut is a deep plunge to blatantly remove something. You see, the Father may just need to snip back a weakness or a potential bondage that's holding you back. And when the Lord points out any flesh still dominating in you, what are we to do? We are to fling ourselves on the altar,
man,
and save ourselves worse pain of living as a flesh-dominated Christian. You can turn to many places in God's Word. And when you're dominated by the flesh, you short-circuit the Spirit of God. You short-circuit the plan of God. And you miss out on what God has for your life. I'm not suggesting tonight that this is easy. It isn't. But it is necessary if we are going to live victorious lives. Here's another thought. Let's go to verse 14 of this same chapter. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed, I love this wording, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast,
amen,
our confession.
Amen.
In keeping with the symbolism, Jesus is the one holding the knife to our flesh because he is our great high priest. And let me tell you something, church. He's the only one who is qualified to make the sacrifice. And yet, we have an important role in the process of sacrificing exalted soulish life. It doesn't take much effort to see the spiritual application. We set our course toward God. And this is a liberating truth by abiding in his Logos. And we stay on course by holding fast to our confession of it. We hold fast to our confession. You know, confession is an interesting word. It really means to say the same as. And you know what it means? To say the same as God says in His Word.
Amen.
See, He's not telling us we can just start voicing some empty promises. He said, your confession must be tied to the Logos.
Amen.
As you confess the Logos, amen, the Logos will become Rhema. And as the Logos becomes Rhema, the Rhema will begin to work in your life so that you are quickened and resurrected. Confession is something that we need to hold fast to. Hebrews 10:23 talks about speaking God's word and not wavering. Speaking God's word keeps us from wavering. It prevents us from giving up or jumping ship at the side of the storm. Let me say something to you tonight, church.
Yeah.
I think you know this, but we are in a storm.
Yeah.
We are in a storm. And more than ever before in history, we need to be speaking the Word of God.
Amen.
And not moved by what we see.
That's right.
Not moved by what we hear.
That's right.
Not moved by what the doctor's diagnosis is.
Right.
Not moved by what the boss says our salary's going to be. We're not moved by the five senses. We're moved by the Rhema of God and the Logos of God. And we get hold of that word and we hold on to it. And we continually confess it. We go around confessing it. And as we do that, according to this passage, His word will keep us on course. You say to me, Pastor, why is confessing God's word over ourselves so important? Well, have you ever read Romans 10:17? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Yeah.
You know, you need to hear yourself say God's word.
Yeah.
You need to hear yourself confess God's word.
Yeah.
Not just hear me on a Saturday night or some preacher on a Sunday. You need to hear yourself confessing the word of God. Have you ever read Romans 10:10 where it says, it's with our mouth confession is made. Our faith is released through confession, causing God's salvation to come to us. Have you ever read Proverbs 18:20-21, life and death are in the power of the tongue?
Yes.
Are you hearing me tonight?
Amen.
Because so many have heard imbalanced teaching on confessing the word, let me add a few insights that I think will make sense. The whole thought of confessing is to say what the Logos is saying.
Amen.
It's not talking about becoming a parrot and just parroting words out of a carnal desire.
No.
It's talking about looking into the Logos and discovering the promises of God and allowing those promises to get in our heart and get in our spirit and get in our mind. And we start saying those words. We start confessing those words. And before we know it, that Logos will become Rhema. And God will begin to speak it as a spirit spoken word. Just parroting is not what it's talking about. I know there's a lot of people that quote verses over and over and over, and I've done it myself. Never see results. If you look at John 5:39, Jesus was explaining why the written word wasn't producing life in these people. Why? He said, we must allow the Holy Spirit to make the written word,
amen,
the living word.
Amen.
As we abide in the word.
Amen.
And that is the key. The Spirit begins to enable us to truly understand and embrace it. Then we're not just speaking empty words from a book, but we're feeding on living words that's coming out of our heart, coming out of our spirit. Rhema is not just a spoken word. It is the Spirit-spoken word.
Amen.
This is where many believers have missed the boat. They have handpicked verses here and there and treated them like lucky charms. But I'm here to tell you that it doesn't work unless we are grounded in a true relationship with God and His Logos. Confession in its true intended form is meditating on God's Logos, feeding on it, living by it, speaking it into our ears, saying it so that we hear ourselves saying it, until it becomes more than just ink on paper. It becomes the Spirit-spoken word to our spirit.
Amen.
And we go through the days muttering these words.
Amen.
And once we do this, then we will begin to see reality and begin to see God work in our lives. And so let me sum up what I've said tonight. If you and I are going to be kingdom-minded believers, and that's God's purpose, that's God's goal,
amen,
we must develop a passion for His Word. Your attitude toward God's Word is your attitude toward God.
Amen.
Now that's an indictment against a lot of Christians in America tonight. I'm glad their Bible doesn't talk. I read a little funny thing about that one time. I won't get into that. But that Bible just laid there for days and days and days and days. What is your Bible saying? Do you read it? Do you meditate on it?
Amen.
Do you confess it? Do you believe it?
Amen.
Do you live by it? Then you will begin to see a division between your spirit and your soul. And your spirit will become the dominant force. Not your soul. Your spirit. And that carnality and that fleshly indulgence that we all battle and struggle with will begin to subside.
Amen.
And the Word of God will come forward.
Thank you, Father.
You have been listening to Enthroned Life, the pulpit ministry of Pastor Gary Smith. To receive more information about Pastor Gary or Enthroned Life Ministries, please email us at enthronedlife@yahoo.com. We appreciate you spending time with us today, and we hope you will join us again next week. Remember, when you know God, you will love Him, and when you love God, you will serve Him. Until next time.